This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Good evening. It's Tuesday, December 8th. I am Sophia, your host for the night on The People Speak. Join The People Speak every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for a contemplative interview-style talk radio. For more information, please log on to bbsradio.com for future guests and past guests. Also, you can find information on the show and who, in the type of shows that we've had in the past and what will become to the future. You can also call in during the show at 1-888-429-5471. Again, 1-888-429-5471. That number is free for all residents of Canada and the United States. Tonight's show is an ambiguous topic, and it's on astrology. Astrology is said to be one of the world's most ancient science, and it's also known as a divine psychology. Astrology, for some people, they say that it's a gateway to darker forces, and others think it's a guide to life. We're going to consult with Chris Fleischer, who is a longtime astrologer, and he's with us here tonight. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sophia. Nice to be on.
Yeah, you know, astrology is very wide, and there's so much connected into it. And how long have you been into astrology, and what's your history with it?
Well, I'm a fairly older man, and I was about 20 years old, and I was working in Boston at the time, and very young and impressionable, and I was at a job that I was working at, and a woman had just started that day that I met her, and she asked me if I knew my birth date, place, and time, and I did. So I gave it to her, and she said, "You just watch, I'll be back." And then about 2 days later, she came back with about 7 or 8 pages of handwritten description of who I was that totally floored me, totally blew me away. I had never met this woman before. I mean, I had a brief encounter with her. There's nothing she could have known about me. Completely unsolicited, out of the blue query about who I was. And she came back with this stuff that was astounding to me. Absolutely astounding. It was completely accurate. It was stuff about me that I don't think anybody else knew except myself. I mean, these were not things like, oh, he likes peanut butter. This was stuff that was like serious, deep-rooted character, personality, attributes, assets, and opinions, and likes and dislikes that were very deep and hidden perhaps from my outer view. But they were spot on. And from that moment forward, which was a long, long time ago, I was captivated by astrology and have been studying it ever since.
Interesting. So she had a real impact on your life. And approximately how long have you been studying? I'm interested in knowing.
I would say, I mean, that was about 40 years ago. And, you know, I mean, I was so captivated by the fact that she knew so much about me without ever having known me. That's the thing. She didn't know me. All she knew about me was my birth date, place, and time. But from that information, she was able to extract a personality profile of who I was that totally blew me away. It was, as I say, it was very deep, intuitive stuff that was completely accurate and spot on the money. And even in some ways, revealing in ways that I never would have expected, almost prolific in some, prophetic in some ways, because she saw things about my future that I could never have even imagined at the time, which then did eventually come true. Yes.
During your quest in astrology, what have you learned about its history?
Well, the history is something that, you know, is always there. I mean, part of the reason astrology works is that it's based on empirical knowledge. The more time that goes by, the more empirical knowledge that we have. So it makes sense that, you know, that would be the case. And, you know, as time marches on, we just get more and more data. So historically, I would say that, you know, it has been incredibly accurate. When I look back, I can see exactly when things happened, why they happened, and when they happened, and give them an arc of alignment that helps them understand why they went through that. If you're talking about the history of astrology as a general topic, that goes back 4,000 or 5,000 years.
Not longer, you don't think?
Well, I mean, the first, you know, it goes back to the Chaldeans mm-hmm. were the first people who really began to work with it, and the Greeks as well. So it goes back, you know, many years. But, you know, you have to have enough body of time to go by in order for data to be established where you can begin to see trends. So, you know, that's why, you know, it does go back very far, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that you have to have enough data to have, enough time has to have passed in order for you to acquire some sort of knowledge of what the aspects mean.
Right now, could somebody pull up a chart that was from about 6,000 years ago?
You could pull up a chart from 6,000 years ago. You could extract it. If the data were there, you could figure. Don't forget that 6,000 years ago, many of the planets were not visible. You didn't have Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, for example. You only saw out to Saturn. But many astrologers of the Hellenistic viewpoint see that astrology, and Hellenistic astrology is sort of a type of astrology that's based on just the planets out to Saturn. Many astrologers would argue that that's all you need to interpret the actual human being. You don't need to go beyond that. But we have gone beyond that because we've learned new planets.
What about the types of astrology? How many types are there?
Well, you know, there's quite a few different types of astrology. There's Western astrology, which I practice. There's Vedic astrology, which practices out of India. There's Chinese astrology. There's Tibetan astrology. So there's quite a few different modalities that tap into the idea of astrology. But astrology as an overarching kind of concept really is based on the motion and the movement of time through a continuum. So time is like a giant helios, meaning that it's like a giant corkscrew. And the helios goes around and around and around. But as it goes around, it keeps moving forward at the same time. So that events that happened at some point in time do reoccur. They do recur. But it's down the road and in a different scene setting. And many of these different types of astrology tap into the same type of observation. They come at it from different angles, but ultimately, when they come to the final estimation of who the individual is and the evaluation of what's going on with the world, they come out the same, which means that it's validated by that simple fact.
Now, do all astrology, mentioning, you know, the different types of astrology, I know Western astrology has this circle with the houses. Now, are all, like, the rest of the, like, for instance, Chinese astrology pulled up the same way or Indian astrology?
No, they're based on a different set of parameters, which is fine. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that if you took a Vedic astrologer, a Chinese astrologer, and a Western astrologer, put them all in the same room with the same chart of an individual, or the same birth coordinates of an individual, they would come up with a very similar, character play of what that person was like. They would come up with the same information. That's why it's fascinating.
How about record keeping? For instance, what I mean by that is, like, our government, do they keep records through astrology? Like, for instance, like the rise of a nation or the fall of a nation or civilization?
Well, I can't speak to what the government does. I do know that there are people who follow this. You know, obviously astrological communities do. I have not been validated on this, but I've heard that the largest collection of astrology books is actually resident in the Vatican. Mm. So the Vatican, the Catholic Church, has used astrology over the years, and they have sort of kept it suppressed because they knew how valuable it was, how accurate it was. So therefore, they kept it suppressed so that they could still, you know, wield their power without having other people getting the wrong idea.
Could that be because the Bible might be highly related to astrology?
Of course it is. All the seasons, all the religious holidays, everything that happens in the Bible, all the major events, all of the religious holidays are all based on the cycles of the planet. There's no question about it.
Is that why people may have a hard time reading the Bible, for instance, because they're not proficient in knowledge of astrology?
I don't think that's the case. I think the reason people turn to the Bible is because it is a comfort area where they can go and rest assured that things are going to happen a certain way, or they take comfort in the religious dogma. But astrology and the Bible are related only by the fact that seasonal events happen at certain times, much the way they do in Wiccan or pagan holidays, ceremonies. The similarities are still there. You know, all of these things are based on the cycles and the motion of the planet, just like our seasons are. It's very logical if you think about it. I mean, if you were to look at the Earth, and as we are swirling around the sun on this great ball, and you see things begin to occur at certain times of year, you begin to formulate that this is a very logical, Earth-centered, cosmos-centered kind of modality that makes perfect sense, far more so than anything that comes out of the Bible or anything else like that, which seems to be fictitious in many ways. I mean, you know, you talk about some of the stories that come out of the Bible, and they seem like they're fairy tales based on the actual empirical data that comes through the observation of the planets and the motions of the world.
How is astrology associated with psychology? Are you familiar?
Yeah. What it is the reason it's called the earliest form of psychology is because what you see when you see a person's birth chart is you see the attributes of the influence of planets. It's not so much that the planets are beaming some sort of energy towards that person at that time. It's more about the relationship of place and time. This is a very important point to make. It's about the placement of things in time. Carl Jung, the great psychologist who was very much of a forerunner of astrology and a believer of astrology, part of the reason he and Sigmund Freud set different paths with each other was because Freud thought that Jung spent too much time with astrology, but Jung was actually correct. And Jung's estimation of what makes astrology work was that we are like a grape on a vine. If you think of a grape on a vine in a vineyard someplace, everything about that grape is determined by the terroir. The terroir is the sun, it's the soil, it's the moisture, it's the climate. All of those characteristics vary from day to day. A vineyard that yields a wonderful wine one year may yield a terrible wine the next year. And that's a black and white parallel. But the point of the matter is that because of the place and time, that individual grape, like we are, individual people, carries certain characteristics. When we are born at a certain time, we see certain characteristics, much the way you see certain generations. When you look at the outer planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, when you see those all slow-moving planets, and they arc over a large segment of the population for many years at a time, you'll see certain similarities in that whole generation of people, because of where they were born, and when they were born, and the influence they were born.
What's the difference between sacred planets and non-sacred?
I am not familiar with that. Sacred,
really?
I'm not sure what sacred planets are. I mean, to me, all the planets are sacred, so I'm not sure.
I think it has something to do with the movement. One's being faster, another one's slower.
Oh, well, if you're talking about the planet, well, there's the inner planets and there's the outer planets. The inner planets go out to Mars. They represent the fast-moving planets. They all move at a fairly recent clip, and they, fairly quick clip, and they don't have the same kind of attributes. They're called the personal planets. Then the planets that are outside of that, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, they move at a much slower arc. The best analogy for this, the best illustration for this, if you look at a bicycle wheel, and you had a dot right near the hub of the wheel, and that wheel turned, that spot on the dot on the wheel would turn very rapidly. Whereas if you took a dot and you put it at the end of the wheel, the far outside of the wheel, that arc would turn much slower. That is the influence that you're seeing. So if you're closer to the sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and so forth, those turn very quickly. Whereas you get outward further, you see longer trends because the planets move slower.
What are the difference between the planets from the asteroids?
Well, you know, the asteroids are a complexity that I personally don't really delve into because of the fact that there's so much information within the basic astrology chart. The basic planets that we see, even going out to Saturn, you know, just the, you know, the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, just those planets alone. Then you include Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. Just those planets alone are enough information to give you all you need to go. There's plenty of astrologers who will delve into the asteroids and all the other different points out there. But I think actually it is clutter, to be honest. That's my honest opinion, is that it's clutter. You don't need that much information. It actually taints the picture. It discolors the picture of the individual because you're bringing in too much data, and it obfuscates the actual character of the person. What you want is hard, fast data that allows a person to understand where they are, where they are in a place and time, and how they work with that place and time to live to their greatest potential.
Okay. So certain planets have, you know, certain characteristics and attributes, and can you go beyond the personal identity and maybe perhaps tap into your soul identity through astrology?
Well, solar and soul are two different words. The solar refers to the sun. Every year, the sun returns to the same spot that you were born at, and that's called a solar return. Mm-hmm. The soul, the S-O-U-L, is a much different portion of the astrology chart. The soul's journey, the soul's purpose, the soul's raison d'etre, the reason to be here, is depicted in the astrology chart. But that is based on a series of constructs that are based on time and place. So there's a number of different things you have to take into account. When you look at the birth chart of an individual, it's called the natal chart, you will see the soul's purpose of an individual. You'll see everything that they're supposed to do in their lives based on the aspects of what they were like when they were born. This is a fingerprint. This is a moment in time frozen like a snapshot or like a shrink-wrapped individual, frozen in time. That is who they are. That is their personality. That is why the term psychology is so applicable, because at the moment they're born, they are an entity unlike any other. Even twins that are born minutes apart have different characteristics. I have twins. I'm the father of twins, and I've studied them very closely. They have different aspects because their lives are different. But then you take that person, that entity, that fingerprint, which is a static chart. This is something that never changes. When you're born, the attributes you're born with remain with you for all as long as you live. But when you bring that fingerprint, that DNA imprint, into the world of today, you know, 2015, everything is changing. And what happens is that's a dynamic chart. And what happens in astrology is it is a conversation between the static natal birth chart and the dynamic birth chart, a dynamic chart of today. That's where astrology comes from.
What is so important about the crosses of the astrology? Your ascending, descending, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, those are critical points in the astrology chart because the ascendant, which is based on the time of birth, sets up the format for all of the houses in the chart. And that can vary per person. You know, like I mentioned, twins. And one of the best analogies for twins, because people always say, well, two people born at the exact same time in the exact same hospital, exact same time, why wouldn't they be exactly the same? In many ways, they will pursue similar characteristics. They will have long-term generational ideas, but the specifics of the individual will change. And the best way to illustrate that is if you had a giant wooden wheel spinning around in front of you, and you were to take a hatchet and hit that wheel twice to represent twins, you would have two different marks on that wheel. And that indicates the individuality of the person. And therefore, their environment, their stimuli, their impulses, their whole environment is based on their stimulus, you know, their conversation with that particular point in time.
From what I know, that there's three different types of crosses that come up in readings: the mutable,
yes,
the fixed, and the cardinal. Do you know which each one of those represent?
Absolutely, yeah. Cardinal signs are the four major points of the compass. That's the Aries, which is the cardinal fire. We have Cancer, which is cardinal water. We have Libra, which is cardinal air. And we have Capricorn, which is cardinal earth. Each of those represent the four major points of the compass. Cardinal signs are those that initiate, those that begin, those that start things. So if you're an Aries, the Aries are notorious for starting things. And the same is true. So they start things and they're very impulsive and they start things. Cancer is the same with regard to water. Libra is the same, totally opposed to Aries, 180 degrees apart, is the one that resounds with air. And then Capricorn is with earth. When you move to the next set of four, we've got Taurus, we've got Leo, you've got Scorpio, and you've got Aquarius. Those are the fixed signs. The four fixed signs are the same thing. There's one, Taurus is fixed earth, Leo is fixed fire, Scorpio is fixed water, and Aquarius is fixed air. Those are the signs that are resolute and they solve the problems. Those are the ones that are fixed. They see things in a very black and white sort of mechanism. They are very stubborn. They are very deterministic. They understand their role and they do not vary from it. Then you go to the next set of four, which are the mutable signs, which are Gemini, which is mutable air. We move on to Virgo, which is mutable earth, then down to Sagittarius, which is mutable fire, and then finally around to Pisces, which is mutable water. And they are the ones that sort of come along afterwards, and they're the adaptive ones. They're the ones that are more adaptable and more, and the, just the simple fact of mutability. Mutability means adaptable, flexible, willing to change, willing to fit the mold. They're the ones that serve.
Are the houses are ruled by the zodiac signs, and is that a fixed idea or can that be changed? For instance, Aries is the ascending, it rules the ascending sign.
It rules the first house. It does not rule the ascending sign. The ascendant is based on the time of birth. That can vary per person based on the time that you're born. So, but as a general rule, the first house is ruled by Aries, yes, and so forth, all the way around the wheel.
Pisces, why wouldn't it be Leo, being the sun? We're in the solar system.
The Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, is the beginning of the zodiac. Those are the rules that are in place, and that is where it works. The Leo rules the fifth house, the house of creativity and the house of childhood.
Throughout your research in astrology, how has it helped you? What have you benefited from it?
Oh, it's been a fabulous way to determine your life. The way to look at astrology would be kind of like a poker game. If you know when it's time to hold, then you're going to hold. If you know it's time to fold, then you're going to fold. Part of what happens with astrology is that you, because of the nature of where the planets are today in your life and how they aspect your natal chart, you can make decisions on or understand why life is difficult or harder or where the activity will be happening in your life. You can actually see. You can see that it's a good time to get a job. It's good. You may have trouble with your relationship. If you've got Pluto going through your seventh house, you can be sure that you're going to be having a reorganization of your relationship. If you have Uranus in your 10th house, you can be sure that you're going to be primed. It's a prime time to be out there looking for work because you might find something very quickly or you may lose your job very quickly. If you've got Jupiter coming across your ascendant, you know that it's time to be out there because abundance and auspiciousness is on your back. It's on your side. So you can see these characteristics. As I say, I'm not going to tell you to go out and buy a lottery ticket on Tuesday, but I will say this is a very good time for money for you. You might want to look at your investments. You might want to look at getting a new job. You want to put your resume out there. You want to get out and be seen. You can't sit in your sofa and expect the job to come to you. That's the way astrology works. It's about timing and theme-oriented relationships of when to be in the right place at the right time. It's timing is everything.
I want to ask this. Can astrology be used as a method for alternative or maybe even holistic healing?
Well, I would say the same thing comes down to, if you are in a mode, if you are in a time when healing is required, then you can definitely use astrology to heal. Absolutely. But you have to be open to it. If you are in a troubled state, say you're in a troubled state with regard to your health or with regard to your relationships or your mental well-being are out of sorts, I can see through the chart when that will end or when that will or how long that will continue. That's what it points out to you. Yeah, I wouldn't say that you apply it to help you with that. What I would say, well, of course, you know, as an astrologer, I have a bevy of tools in my tool bag that I would recommend for a person going through a difficult time. But the most important thing is that you go with the flow of the river. When you know which direction the river is going, when you know the river is going over certain difficult rocks, then you want to be able to adapt yourself and not fight the river. That's really what it comes down to.
Let's say somebody was depressed their entire life and they could not find a reason why, and medications never worked for them. Now, would it be possibly an astrology thing with planets placed in stressful houses or near other planets that are kind of conflicting through one another?
What you would see with a person that was chronically depressed would you would see tension in the astrology chart. You would see aspects that were difficult to overcome, and they were almost, debilitating in their aspects. But what you could find from that was that there is a way in which to augment that by leaning into it, by working with the energy of the planets and the timing to soften that effect and to come out of it to greater effect. There are difficult times in life. Everybody goes through difficult cycles, but cycles can be temporary. They don't need to be permanent. And if you understand your true potential, really what it comes down to is finding an outlet that is constructive for the depression, to redirect the energy. Edna, you cannot change the astrology chart of any person. That is cast in stone. What you can do is you can take a negative energy and redirect it towards a positive direction to get a better result than you're getting. Oftentimes, it's simply a matter of somebody, you know, being beaten down to the point where they can't get out of their own shadow, and therefore they're not able to follow that. But when you find the aspect and you can see that this is a lifelong crutch that they have to, a cross that they have to bear, you can provide them with tools that allow them to move beyond that and accept that life is difficult. This is a basic premise. Life is difficult, period. There is nothing that makes us think anything else. For us to assume that we are supposed to live a life like a Hollywood star or that life is supposed to be lollipop and sunshine is completely erroneous. Life is difficult. That is the basic underlying premise. Once you accept that and you move on with what you've been given, then you can live your life more fully with what you have. But it comes down to an acceptance of that basic fact.
I'm going to take us into a break, but when we come back, can you give us a weekly horoscope that you come up with every week?
What I can do is I can go through each of the individual signs and I can talk about the next couple months, where things will be good and where things will be bad.
And that is what we got to look for when we come back from our break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
And we are back. I am Sophia Ray, your host on The People Speak. We are here with Chris Fisher, an astrologer. I'm going to ask Chris to bring us into the weekly horoscopes, what we got to look forward in the next couple of months and so on. But before that, I would like him to tell us and the viewers where we can find him, his podcast, his links, web. Go ahead, Chris. Let us know
okay.
how we can find you.
Yeah, okay. So I have a one website which is pointed to by two different names. One is chrisflisher.com, and the other is turningofthewheel.com, which brings you to my website. On my website, you will see the weekly horoscopes, you'll see the artwork that I do, and you'll see my weekly podcasts are there. My podcasts are also in iTunes at Turning of the Wheel. If you go to any podcast service like Stitcher or iCatcher or anything else that you use to download your podcast, and you bring up the you do a search on Turning of the Wheel, four words, Turning of the Wheel, you bring those up and you will find my podcast, which goes out every Friday morning. And in that, I talk about a specific astrological topic or metaphysical topic. I don't limit myself just to astrology. I talk about a lot of different things. This week's podcast, for example, is called Miraculous Silence, which is a wonderful quality which we could all embrace right now when we think of ourselves and our heads stuck in our cell phones and looking at Facebook all day long. Miraculous Silence removes us from all that. So this is just an idea. So, and then I'm also on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Twitter as my name, Chris Fisher, F as in Frank, L-I-S-H-E-R. It's just like Fisher with an L of a difference. And I'm out there, and I'm on YouTube, and I also have my own television show called turningofthewheel.tv. And on there, you'll see a number of educational videos about the individual planets, as well as a number of different esoteric kinds of arts. I've spoken with tarot readers. I've spoken with shamanic astrologers. I've spoken with a number of different people, artists. But the majority of the work there is all about astrology and helping you to learn why astrology works as a divination tool. I would not necessarily live my life, wrote my life, every moment of my life by astrology, but it's always good to know the general themes of where you are because it allows you to be more present and allows you to act accordingly. When you know certain things about your life, it's a good time to do something, then you want to be out there and present. You don't want to be sitting at home on the sofa watching TV. If you need to be out there looking for work, you need to have your hair cut, you got to get a new suit, you got to get your resume typed up, whatever. You understand what I'm saying. It's all about timing. And timing is unique to the individual person. When the individual person, you individually, know, all you need to know is three major points of your chart. You need to know your sun sign, you need to know your moon sign, and you need to know where your ascendant is. If you know where your sun and your ascendant are, and you read those two different pieces of astrology at any week or any day or any month or any year, you will get 80 to 85% more accuracy on what's to happen in your life. And you have to remember that it is a theme-based modality. So the theme-based modality means that some of the onus or the responsibility resides with you, the individual. If I say to you, it's a good time to cope with money, it's a good time to look at getting student loans or paying off your debts, That means that you've got an opportunity to do that. How that applies to you, I'm not going to say to you, hey, Joe, go pay off your credit card bill tomorrow. But Joe would hear me talking about that and understand, wow, you know, money really is part of my life right now, more so than usual. I've got to take care of that. That's how astrology works. It is theme-based. It's got a long arc to it. But it is incredibly valuable. I use it to make plans for what I'm doing. And when you see it happening in your life, you will be amazed at how accurate it is for everything that happens in your life. As events open and doors open and close, you'll know exactly why.
Nice. You know, I have to go back and say something. It was maybe about a month ago or so. It was first when I invited you on, and I went on your site, I looked at your weekly horoscopes, and it was spot on. I couldn't believe it. It was just spot on about investigating and researching and everything, and that was what I was doing at the moment, and I just couldn't believe it. Can you take us into the weekly horoscope and what we look forward
right.
to?
Sure. So what I won't do this on a weekly basis, but I'll do it on a 2 to 3 month basis, which will give you an overall arching idea. And what I want to reiterate and stress is that, remember, the astrology is theme-based. I'm not going to say what to do on any day of the week. I could. If I had your chart, I could give you a better idea when it would be better to work and not work. But these themes are based on a number of characteristics about certain planets and their influence and when they're better to be using, when they're better to be used and not to be used. Okay, so this is really important. So we're going to start with Aries. Aries, the most important area where you're going to see the most growth, optimism, expansion is going to be in your daily work. This is your daily work and your health are really fired up right now. Jupiter's there. It's a wonderful time to be doing things in a new, innovative way, meeting new people, pushing boundaries, looking at new ways. Uranus for Aries is in the first house. First house is all about the ego. So it's about busting out, being somebody new, being somebody unique and dynamic, starting something that's totally dramatically different. And the challenge you're going to have and where you're going to see the greatest transformation will be represented by Pluto, which is your 10th house, which is your career. So all the work that Aries are doing right now is about transforming themselves. They're like the butterfly coming out of the chrysalis. They're emerging as new people after a period of time where they have been downtrodden. They are coming to a point in time where they're going to emerge and be much more visible and shifting their whole mode of life dramatically. So this is like life, daily work, who you are as a person, and what you do for work. Dramatically different over the coming year. Taurus. Taurus is going to see a remarkable time of creativity and a childlike sort of enthusiasm. It's a great time for a Taurus to conceive, for example. Great time to sort of shut the door on an old lifestyle and start a new lifestyle. If you were a newlywed Taurus and you were to go out and conceive, you would be closing the door on an old lifestyle of being the single person, and all of a sudden you're deeply immersed in the world of children. You can imagine what that would be like. And then if you wanted to exacerbate that and make that even amp that up even more, you would say, wow, I am a father or a mother. For the first time, I've created this new childlike mentality. What's the best way I can do that? You would go back to school. You would educate yourself. These are the important pieces that you'd have to know. For Gemini, the area where you're going to see the greatest expansion and room for optimism is in your fourth house, which is the house of family and home. So redecorating, having new children, not so much the same way as a Taurus did, but more so based on the home and the family, existing family. You might see a real sense of expansion there with regard to the home. What does that look like? Redecorating the home, making things look right, sort of hunkering down, maybe putting on an addition to your house, stuff like that. The area where you're going to see the most dramatic shifts are going to be in working with other people. This is where groups come into. So any sort of thing that you do with regard to groups, so as business associations, groups, people that you're associated with, you know, if you're on a team at work, this is where you're going to see the greatest amount of upset. And upset does not mean bad. Upset just means, wow, new exciting stuff is happening. with regard to where you're going to see the most long-term transformation is going to be in your spiritual house and your house of elders. This is the house where the eighth house, where we see this is the house that is like the sex and death house, but that doesn't mean anything other than regeneration. This is the house where we see bold new, you know, entries into different kinds of spirituality and outside money and dealing with elders. This is an area of very important for you. Cancer, the area where you're going to see the greatest influence with regard to sort of the auspicious time going forward is going to be in your third house. This is where Jupiter currently is in your house as a Cancer. And that is all about communication. It's about research. It's about investigation. It's about writing proposals. It's about writing grants. Anything that you do in that area right now will most likely yield a positive fruit. But you're going to see a lot of emphasis with regard to that. With regard to where you're going to see the most dynamic sort of sudden shifts will be your career. So career could mean all of a sudden you get promoted, all of a sudden you get transferred, all of a sudden you get a new boss, all of a sudden you get a gigantic raise, all of a sudden you get fired. All of those are likely with regard to your career. And the specifics of that are based on the individual chart, not so much. What I'm giving is an overarching view for all the signs. Cancer going forward, the area where you're going to see dramatic and life-changing sort of occurrences are going to be in your relationship house. Relationships here, this might be the time where you set your feet down, and you finally get married. You put your feet down, you say, I'm going to be married, or I'm going to leave this person. I'm going to move on. This is a very important time. You sort of have those conversations where you're either in or you're out, but you're going to be one or the other. It's a very transformative time where your whole view of yourself as an individual shifts into the role of the relationship. Now, Leo. Leo is going to be very good with regards to money. It's the second house. Leo should be out there looking at financial ventures, where to put your investments, where to look at your 401k, where's your retirement fund, how do you make more money. It's a great time to be very, very visible with money. Where you're going to see the greatest need for change and sort of revolution will be in your house of spirituality, education, and travel. So you may very well be asked to travel someplace, and in that travel time, you will find yourself earning some sort of money or getting some insight into money. Where you're going to see the greatest change in your life is how you live your daily life. How you live your daily life. So if your daily life was getting up in the morning and hopping on a train and going to work, you may find that radically different, where to the point where you may be looking at a different mode of operation, where you may be working at home, or you may be doing something different, but you're going to find a whole different realm there. And the same would apply to Leos with regard to health. If you have not been feeling well, this might be the time to sort of wipe the slate clean and get out there and start exercising. Virgo, you see a wonderful time right now for reinvention. This is a time to totally wipe the slate clean and be somebody completely different. This is going to be, I am reborn, I am busting out of my egg, I am going to be somebody completely different. And you're going to see the greatest amount of sort of lightning flashes, epiphanies happening through the eighth house, which is the house of outside money. So if you're trying to reinvent yourself and all of a sudden you're looking for outside money, venture capital, or you're looking for someone to back you, or you're looking for student loans, or you're looking to refinance your house, fabulous time for you to do that. And the ideas and the events may just come out of the blue when you least expect it. And for you, your creative area is one area where you're going to totally transform yourself and approach your whole method of personal expression in a dramatic way. You are no longer going to be the ho-hum person who does things a certain way. You are going to tip over the apple cart and do things in a radically different way. Very, very optimistic for Virgos. Libra. Libra is going to see a big ending of sorts. And I don't want people to be fearful of that when I say ending. Ending is a transition. And transition, and I want you to think of in transition in this way. Transition is what happens at the end of a pregnancy. At the end of a pregnancy, you have a baby. That is a transition. That's how I want you to view the idea of transition. Transition is a door closing, but it's a door opening. Is the door closing bad? Not necessarily. Not if you're leaving a bad relationship. Not if you're leaving a terrible job. That's a good door closing. So think of it in those terms. The area where you're going to see the greatest unpredictable kind of surprises will be in your relationships. So what does that look like? If you're single and you're standing in line at the supermarket and some guy starts talking to you or some woman starts talking to you and all of a sudden your conversation takes off or you meet somebody at a party, wham, that is a bold, out-of-the-blue shot of pure adrenaline that may come your way. So it's a very good time to be out circulating with regard to how you look for people. Your antenna needs to be up. If you're a Libra, you need to be out circulating, looking for new people because new people will come your way. And it doesn't necessarily mean a romantic partner. It could be somebody who comes along and becomes your lifelong friend, or you lose a long-term friend. Both of those obstacles and options are available. Where you'll see the greatest transformative sort of tearing down and rebuilding will be in your home. So you may sell your house. You may move someplace. You may have a baby that comes into your, you may be a grandmother all of a sudden. You may have a baby come into your life. Your whole world will change dramatically with regard to your home. That's the fourth house. When it comes to Scorpio, Scorpio will see the greatest opportunity happen through group efforts. This is a time for you to collaborate. This is a time for you to get out there and work with business associates, even as though it may be difficult. You may be a secretive private person, but this is the time to inject yourself in the workforce and work with other people. It's all about collaboration. Two heads are better than one, and this is a perfect time for that to happen. Where you may see the greatest surprises are in your daily work. You may walk into work tomorrow and find that your job has been eliminated, or you may walk into work tomorrow and find that your job and your whole way of thinking has been transformed. You may be moving to a new building. You may get a new position. You may get a new role. All of those are highly likely. Areas where you're going to see the greatest transformation will be how you communicate and how you investigate. Investigation is all about research. It's about digging beneath the covers. It's about digging, digging, digging. What is hidden? Where is the missing puzzle piece? This is an area where you need to focus on. Sagittarius. Sagittarius is going to see fabulous opportunities with regard to career. This is an area where you're going to see things really take off. And the way they take off is based on your ability to be creative. Ability to be creative is going to be huge in this regard. And it's going to pay off with regard to your finances. This is a perfect combination of 10, 5, and 2 houses. The 10th house is career. The 5th house is creativity. The 2nd house is money. So if you can pull off the right innovative idea, the outside money coming in could be dramatic. But I want to caution you that the opposite is also likely. This is the theme-based modality I'm talking about. When it comes to Capricorn, the area where you would learn the most and do the most is digging deeper into your own spiritual self, traveling and educating yourself. This is where you're going to find the greatest sunrise. The sunrise is going to shine in your area of education, spirituality, and researching and exploring the world, absorbing like a giant sponge. You're going to be absorbing. But Capricorn is also a very dynamic sign right now because you've got Pluto in Capricorn. So what you're going to see with regard to sudden changes and flashes of insight are going to be a very, very based on your home life. What happens in your home life that's different? Does somebody get pregnant? Do you become an uncle or an aunt all of a sudden? Does your whole role change differently with regard to how you view the world? And finally, the most important piece about the Capricorn is you've got Pluto in your first house. So you are really going through a period of time where you are tearing down the old and rebuilding the new in the most dramatic fashion. This may be, you may have started out as a nerdy soccer player or a football player at one time, and you may end up as an avant-garde artist at the end. This is a dramatic reversal and restructure of who you want to be. This is the time to follow your gut. Aquarius. Aquarius is going to see great benefit from outside money. This would be things such as inheritances, wills, estates, insurance claims, Anything like that is going to be very prominent for the next several months. So if you're looking to refinance your home, if you're looking to take out a student loan, this is a fabulous time to look into that, a incredible time to look at that. The area where you're going to see the greatest amount of upset and revolution will be with investigation and writing. So something that you write may very well set off a trigger that brings in that outside money. It's a good time to write proposals, a good time to set out, set the stake in the ground for looking for something different. And this is where you're going to find an area of transition. Because of your ability to seek outside help, to be able to converse and write proposals that bring things forward, you may see a dramatic new beginning. A dramatic new beginning is a house of transition. This is a time of transition. Again, I want to caution you to the idea of transition as not a thing to fear, but rather a thing to jump into and embrace. This could be a huge game changer for you. And you, Aquarius, are always looking at the larger picture. Your view is not so much about you personally. It's more about how do you help humanity. And finally, Pisces. Pisces is going to see the greatest opportunity happen in their relationship zone. This is a time when relationships really begin to shine for you. You feel as if you stepped in, you know, and I can't say in the air on the airways, but you've stepped in something good. You really are fine. And this is the time to really look at relationships. And the area where you're going to see the greatest surprise is with finances. Now, that can be both ways. Remember, I'm cautioning you about that. Finances can go both ways. They can be a windfall or they can be a huge loss. But you're going to see sudden jarring changes in there. Only you know yourself where the cards are stacked in that deck. So if you see trouble on the horizon with regard to money, then you know it's going to come and you can make amends to change that. If you see potential on the horizon with regard to money, you can also act accordingly because the spotlight and the epiphany and the lightning bolt is in that area of your chart. Finally, for Pisces, the area where you're going to see the most long-term transition is going to be in how you collaborate. So you may decide to get rid of some old business associates or line up with some new ones, but it's going to be a dramatically different area for you completely. You are going to find that the people you've been hanging out with or working with over time are not who you need to be with, and you may decide to restructure that completely and inject some fresh blood into that whole area of your life. So that's the overall view of the 12 signs, and I hope that is helpful.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very helpful for my sign. I appreciate that. We're coming to the end of the show, but before we close this out, can you briefly, as quickly as possible, give me your opinion of what's going to happen for 2016 election?
Wow, that is a tough one. I haven't looked at all the charts specifically, but we are in a time of great transition. There's no question about it. I do think that the Democrats will prevail in the United States. I am hopeful of that. I don't think that the rhetoric of evil and hatred and sort of exclusion is going to work overall. I think that we are an evolutionary species. I also think that we are on the brink, on the cusp of a time when the feminine characteristic, the feminine quality of humanity needs to come to the surface. It's the feminine quality that is missing in the world. We have been dominated too long by the male aggressiveness, and it is time now for the feminine, softer quality to come to light, where we're able to speak and nurture and succor each other in different ways, where we do not have this animosity and hatred.
Wow, thank you. Do you have any last words, comments for our listeners?
No, just that astrology is incredibly accurate. I think it's far more valuable than you realize. I wouldn't necessarily live my daily life by it, but it's good to know where things are in your chart. I think it's very helpful to understand it. And the more you learn about it, the greater the rewards will be. It is an incredibly fascinating science that is incredibly accurate, spot on the money to the day accurate. And if you want your astrology reading done, look at me at www.turningofthewheel.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. Chris Flischer is my name. Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Flischer, F as in Frank, L-I-S-H-E-R. Seek me out. I can help you. I am a great life coach. I've made great ideas. I have great ideas for how you can get your life better based on your personal chart.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. A big holler out to our engineer, Doug Newsom, and our producer, Mike Kim. Let us unite through love and light. Take care of one another, and good night.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.